just for a moment. There's a verse in 1 John 3. Some of you will know this really well. And it's a verse that I sort of woke up with this morning. I was thinking about today and obviously aware of it being Father's Day. But this verse was just something I wanted to read out. It says, see how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. It's just one of those great verses, isn't it, from the scriptures? Just turn, if you've got a Bible with me, just turn to Ephesians 3. This morning I wanted to sort of wrap up the teaching series that we've been in for a few weeks now, probably a few months actually, just exploring what it means to be fruitful at the front line, on the front edge of our lives. How can we be fruitful? How can we live our lives in such a way that as we go about just the everyday stuff of our lives, the sort of, you know, the orderliness. You know, I think I really like that little quote, like Mark drew to that, you know, we're just ordinary people. But actually, in that sense of the ordinary stuff of life, there's something about the extraordinary God that is with us. And I suppose that comes across this morning, particularly in thinking about Father God. God is our Father. And Ephesians 3 is, there's a prayer there that I just wanted to just think on a few thoughts as we close off the teaching, because I suppose this is the prayer, a prayer that we could pray. Paul writes, he says, "When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. And I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life that comes from God." And I don't know about you, but there's something quite profound, I think, when we begin to really understand what God the Father is like. And we begin to actually understand that. That's what Paul prays here, doesn't he? He prays that we would understand it. And sometimes that's really hard for some of us. Some of us find it so hard to understand what God the Father's like. Because the stuff of life creates wounds in our hearts. It creates barriers in our lives. And we've talked about that a little bit this morning, that we recognize that for some, Father's Day is a painful day, as well as a day when we remember and we celebrate. I was thinking about my own dad. And my dad died 6 years ago. Or longer, actually. 9 years ago. 2006. And it was the year I was 40. So, I'm turning 50 next year, so that seems even bigger. But for turning 40. And in that year, that's the year my dad died. And I was really privileged when I look back now on my upbringing. There was something about the way that my dad, it wasn't perfect. Sometimes, actually, he was quite emotionally absent. He was always there in terms of his presence. We were the sort of house that had a chair that was my dad's chair. And nobody sat on my dad's chair. And he was always there. And sometimes he could be emotionally absent. But there was something about his belief in me that I think has made me who I am. And part of that is about, for me personally, it's about that sense of knowing who I am. My own security, my own identity comes out of some of my relationship with my dad. My dad would spend most of his weekends when I was between the age of 13 and 17. He would spend most weekends taking me to different football matches where I was playing. I would play Saturday morning, Saturday afternoon, and Sunday morning in three different teams. And he would spend all weekend doing that. And looking now as an adult, I think that was, he was up at half past six every morning to go to work. He didn't get in until 6 o'clock at night. And yet every weekend he did that. From when I was 13 to about 17, 18. He was always there and would travel around. And identity, thinking about this in the context of us being fruitful on the edge of life, it all comes back to understanding who we are. And we get our identity primarily from our Father, from Father God. But I think within society, within the way that society is set up, the role of fathers and father figures are crucial to help people find identity. And one of the things that I believe God has given to me and given to me and Sue in terms of what we want to build at HBC is that we want to be to this group of people like a mom and dad. That gives this group of people a sense of identity and security and freedom to be released to be who you are. And you can only be who you are when you actually begin to understand who God has made you to be. That's why this prayer is such a key prayer. Because I don't know about you, when I think about all this, there are times, and this morning there was a moment in that singing and that I just want to fall on my knees. I just want to say, you know what? I am so, so, so thankful to God for saving me. For getting hold of my life. I don't know how you feel about your life and your relationship with God. But when I think about these things, it just does something inside. When I sing a song or I hear the words of a song like that reflect that, that's who you are. You're a good, good father. And there's the enemy of our soul, Satan, the devil, whatever you want to call him, his primary job in your life is to make sure that you do not understand that he's a good, good father. He'll take stuff that's gone in your life. And some of you, I know some of your stories, you know yourselves around this room, there's bad stuff that happens to us, to good people. Things go on in our lives where we wonder why and how and what. And that questions, you know, how can God be the good God? How can God's ways be perfect all of the time when bad stuff goes on in us? And part of our healing, part of our growth as people, I think, is coming to those places where we reconcile inside ourselves the fact that we do believe that God is a good, good Father. Even when bad stuff has happened to us, bad stuff's been done to us. Even when maybe our own father, our own earthly father, was just not what we wanted him to be, what we needed him to be. The message of Christianity and the power of a prayer like this is that through what Jesus has done for us, through the death of Jesus on the cross, through the shedding of his blood, we now have full access. We now have this full relationship possible with God the Father. And we can pray, and I pray, you know, and if we're going to be fruitful at the edge, then we need to be people who know that the roots of our lives grow down into God's love and keep us strong. There's something going on in my life right now where I know, I just know that the roots of my life are going deeper and deeper and deeper into that love of God for me. I just know. And my hope and my prayer for everyone in this room and out of this room as we go into this world, that we become these people who carry this love, this huge love that God has for humanity, and we are the ones who share it, who demonstrate it, who live it in such a way that it draws people into this love. A couple of times recently, and if I heard Ruth correctly in what she was saying and trying to express, there's something I think that God wants to pour out through us that is about new wine. There's something that God wants to do that's new in the midst of some of the changes that are going on in HBC, some of the things that are happening. But actually, anything that we do structurally, anything that we do that changes things is not going to be it unless there's something new that goes on inside us. Unless there's a renewing inside us of this truth, of this hope, of this understanding. To experience God's love. To experience how wide and how high and how deep and how long that love is. When we experience it, it does something that enables us to go out in a new way, in a new context, with a new hope. I don't know what it, but, you know, whatever the words are, there's something that God wants us to carry into our lives so that as we meet people, as we impact with people across our lives, just who we are overflows into the lives of people we meet. It's not necessarily that we have to do anything different. It's not that we have to you know, in a sense, change who we are. But we just need to know who we are. And once we know who we are, it begins to change stuff. It begins to help us. And I suppose this morning, as we've prayed and as we've sang our songs, as we've thought about who God is in terms of the Father, as we reflect on our own lives, and, you know, we've all got those memories, haven't we? And memories are interesting. It's an interesting phenomenon, memories, isn't it? I don't know what you do with memories sometimes. The thing about memories that's so powerful is that when you have a memory, they invoke an emotion. So, you know, like even me standing here at the front, I didn't intend to get emotional, but I have a memory, and this morning I was thinking about my dad, and memories come back, and I looked at a few photographs, and the memories evoke emotion. And that's why memories are so powerful for good and for bad, because if you've got memories that are associated with bad stuff, then all the emotion of that memory gets caught up in it. And for many people, my experience of talking with people and helping people and praying with people is that we can very easily get stuck in the emotion of that memory. And so actually to break out of that, to break into the new thing, to break into the new wine and the new stuff that God wants to do, we have to find a way to work through and to pray through and to let go of the memory. I don't know about you this week, but I just reading and watching some of the images coming out of South Carolina. And yesterday I watched a little video which I shared on my Facebook page of when the victims, the children and the relatives of those who've been killed got to speak to the person who killed them. It's one of those things in American justice that it's all filmed, isn't it? It's like in the UK we don't film any of that stuff. And one after another, all of them, the first thing they said was they released forgiveness. It was like, wow. This is Christianity at its best. It's like if we want to... And then I was reading some comments, not on my page, but on the original page. And one person said, I'm an atheist. But if this is Christianity, if actually, you know, in those moments of real pain, and then they weren't denying, like one of the daughters said, and she said, you've taken away that the most important person in my life. I'll never be able to speak to that person again. But actually, I forgive you. And I point you to the one who is the ultimate forgiver. I was just like... And that's the key, isn't it? That is the key for memories that are going on in our heads. Things that have happened to us, things that have been done to us. It's actually finding the grace and the strength and the power to forgive. If we have that within us, if we find that way within us to forgive people, it releases God's forgiveness in our lives. And it releases the power to change something in us. It may never change the person who's done the act. I don't know. You know, we don't know what. But I was looking, you know, you watch this lad's face and you think, you're listening to all these words. Does it have any impact? I don't know, but it actually has something going on inside the people who are releasing it. That's the key, isn't it? That's the key with forgiveness. Forgiveness does something in you. That's most important. And the power to forgive comes, I think, you know, we all have the power to forgive. All humanity has that within us, but actually as Christians, with that understanding of what God has done, we're going back to this good Father. Thank you, oh my Father, for sending us your Son. When we understand and we grapple and we appreciate and we apply that truth of what has actually happened on the cross, and we receive that forgiveness, then it releases strength and power to be more forgiving, doesn't it? That's the key message for Christianity. And I don't know this morning whether, just give us 2 minutes, and I'll, that's all right. So, I don't know about you this morning, but I suppose if we're going to be fruitful people living at the edge, if we're going to be people who really make a difference, maybe for some of us in this room, we have to process and find a way through those issues where we need to forgive. And I know that is not easy. You know, and there's loads of people in this church who will walk with you, pray with you, talk with you. But let me encourage you in terms of this, of where we are in terms of the new wine that God wants to do. I think if we can keep releasing forgiveness, years, goes back to stuff that might be in your childhood, and you've never really managed to release forgiveness. Maybe even this morning you need to forgive God in terms of understanding that and saying, I just want to release forgiveness. I want to let go of some of that hurt and anger and bitterness and resentment and all the stuff that builds up inside. I want to let it go. I want to forgive so that actually this morning I can taste, I can experience the reality of God's love for myself and then share it out. That's what Paul, I think, is praying here. But you might know the fullness of life and power that comes. So, kids are going to come back in because I know they want to share some stuff with us, what they've been doing this morning. So come across the front, boys and girls.
Right, so this morning in Rockers, we've been thinking about God as our Father. And we've been taking that verse from 1 John 1 verse 3, which talks about how great is the Father's love for us, that we should be called children of God. But we don't just say it in Rockers. We shout it, and we do it with some percussion, and then we teach it to the rest of you. Okay? So we're just going to demonstrate first, and then we're going to teach it to you. You're going to join in with us. How great love for us. How great is the Father.
No way, Jerry God.
God.
Stop. Right, so I'm sure you've got that, but we don't just want to do it on our own, okay? So you can just join in. I'm not going to point to you and have you segregated into different groups. Please just join in and say it with us. And if you want to, you can clap along as well. Okay, after four. One, two. Great is the Father's for us that we should be called children of God. How great is the Father's for us that we should be called children of God. How great is the Father's love for us that we should be called children of God. to need some help, so you all need to get the top end. So the other thing, we did two other things apart from learning the memory verse, is that we spent a bit of time listening and asking God what his love is like. And these are some of the children's pictures and ideas about what God's love is like. We've got a castle here. The castle has got hearts in it. And we talked about what that means, a castle of love. Who the king of the castle is, the children decided, King God is the king of the castle. And then what does that make us? Well, of course, we are children of God, so we are the princes and princesses. Okay? What else have we got here? Oh, yes, we've got a world. God's love is bigger than the world. We talked about how big his love is. We talked about God as our provider, God as our protector. What does that one say? Higher than the skyscraper. So if you want to have a look at this afterwards, lots of ideas all about Father God and his love for us. And then they've also done some little pots with seeds to grow for their dads, so you will be getting something. Dads, we haven't forgotten about you. That's it now. We can go back.